You guys are wonderful, and blessing to all of you that are online also. And let's see, we're all set. Take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to talk a lot of different things here, but we're talking about pray with understanding is the title of this teaching. Pray with understanding, or pray for understanding is probably a better one. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ taught his disciples before his crucifixion, his last major teaching. This particular John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 really are one big package. And I just want to pick out one aspect of it. What he taught them was how they were going to live after he was gone. And he talked to them about the Spirit that was going to be poured out. And I want to go through a few scriptures here just to see what this Spirit is going to do. In John chapter 14, in verse 26, well, let's go to 16 first. It says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And that word forever is until the end of the age. The end of this age is when he returns. We have this Spirit until our Lord returns. This Spirit is just a token. Then we get a new body, a new mind, and a life-quickening Spirit for eternity. But right now, he is going to pray. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another Comforter, another Paraclete, that he may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. One of the great truths, one of the most exciting things when you see this, is that Jesus Christ was with them. They had that counselor, that Paracletos. They had him in their presence. He gave them guidance and help. He was there reproving them and teaching them and guiding them through this life. All right? He says, you're going to get one, and you know what it is, because it's just like me. This Paraclete that you're going to receive on the day of Pentecost, he's not telling them what day yet, but it's coming on the day of Pentecost. We know that from reading Scripture. It is having Christ in you. You have God in Christ in you. You have the greatest advantage of all the people on earth. Those of you who believe. The question is always, do we believe what we have received? Do we actively believe and accept that which has been done? In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. It's the word orphanos, means orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. When that day happens, and he's talking to them about a day that's going to happen here in the next month, in the future here. It's going to happen on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate today. That was 50 days after, you know, it was 50 days in between Passover and Pentecost is 50 days. Jesus Christ was resurrected, and he was with them 40 days and his resurrected body, teaching them wonderful things after his resurrection. But the point is, he says, at that day you are going to know. You're going to experience it. You're going to know it. That I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. You're going to know that. He, verse 21, he that hath my commandments keeps them. And he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. When the Lord taught these things, go to verse 26 here. He made it plain to them on that occasion. And they didn't understand this, okay? This went way over their head. Just like sometimes it goes over our head, things we read in the scriptures. This went over their head at that particular moment. But then he told them, you're going to understand this when the Spirit comes, when this happens. This is going to become evident to you. In verse 26, it talks about the Spirit again. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This Spirit is going to teach, and it's going to bring back to memory the things that the Lord has taught. This Spirit is actively in you. It is actively in you. It is your counselor. And these are the things that it does. Do you have a heart to seek what it's doing? You know, if I had the Lord Jesus Christ sitting here in this room, I would sit down and I would say, Lord, please teach me. You know? You have that in you every day. Please show me, teach me, guide me. What do I do now? What do I need to do? How can I be of service? How can I bless? I have, and you have, God in Christ in you. Now, it's not to make you feel bad or anything, because all of us do this too. We all walk through the day and don't think about that at all. And we just go about our day. In fact, we trip through our day and fall over ourselves because we're not actively thinking about the fact that I have the Creator of the heaven and earth, and I have my Lord and Savior right in me. I am, you are, filled with power. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is power from on high. You have been clothed with it. But you have to choose to be humble enough and aware enough of that truth to ask, teach me, show me, help me. You know, we sing these songs, show me your way. Is it just a nice tune? It is a nice tune. But it is to remind us to ask, show me your way. You know, open my eyes that I might see. You know, these are songs that we bring to the meeting like this, or to our hearts as we go through our days, that are supposed to remind us what we're supposed to be doing and thinking, because we do trip through life. You know, we get up in the morning, where's my coffee? That's me. Where's my coffee? All right? And then it's like an hour later. Oh, good. Oh, Lord, bless you. You know, I think we're all like that. There's none of us. The reason that we need teachers, the reason that we need to come together in fellowship, the reason that we need, we were talking before the meeting started here, we were talking about the things of God and prayer. We were talking about just how God works, what he's done for us. We need to do this all the time, and we need to remind ourselves of these great, wonderful truths. In verse chapter 16, in verse 13, talks about the Spirit again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into the all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You know, this Spirit that we have is that which, you know, it's like in the book of Revelation. If just turn there for a minute, chapter 1. This is how it works. I think it's really abundantly interesting. The Spirit doesn't have its own personality. I don't know exactly the right words to say, but it's not its own. It is your counselor. It says here, the way the Revelation was given, all right, the way Revelation is given, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Tells you exactly how this thing came down. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Which God gave him. God is the source. He is the author of the Word. He is the one who sent his Son. He is the one that Jesus always did his will. So however it shows up to us, it's not the Spirit talking about all by itself to us. The Spirit is just, may I say, the tool. All right? It's a gift. God gives the revelation to the Lord, who's the head of the church. And that same counsel that he would be, and if he was in our presence, he gives to the Spirit, which gives it to us. And if it comes any other which way, it's still all from the Father. Whether it be by angel or sign or any other thing. It's all from your Father. So this Spirit is going to make, go back to John chapter 16 and verse 13. And it says, this Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come. It will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That information is yours. The availability to have the all truth, which I believe was given to the Apostle Paul, and we have in written form in the church epistles and in the rest of the scriptures in the New Testament. That all truth is right in front of your face. Spend some time looking, reading, and while you're reading, ask God to show it to you. Ask him to reveal it to you. You know, I was so excited about sharing this today, and there's almost nothing new in it to me. But the fact that we have this Spirit, we have these promises. Wait till you get to the next section of this teaching. We have these things. It's ours to have. It belongs to you because Jesus Christ died for it so that you could have it. And he asked the Father to give it when he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. He wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. It's yours. And nobody's excited about the Spirit of God. Nobody spends their time thinking and asking, show me, teach me, help me, and then manifesting the power. You know? You can speak in tongues. You can interpret. You can prophesy. You can receive the revelation that God wants you to receive. You can do miracles. Lord wants a miracle done. Do that. How hard is it to cast out a spirit? Jesus just simply said, go. You don't have to get all riled up for this. It's not like a Pentecostal meeting. Not that I want to be bad to the Pentecostals. You don't have to jump around, get all excited. Jesus just simply said, by the power of God, which you have, go. We do it in his name. He could do it without his name because he was him. I mean, comprende? It's just an amazing, what a wonderful truth. What a gift. What a power, what a deliverance God has poured out for you and I. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Actually, it's chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, this is after he had taught them that, and he was crucified. And he died. 3 days later, God got him up from the dead, right? Our Lord was raised from the dead by the power of God. And then he spent 40 days with them, as it says here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Speaking to them about the things, showing them great things, and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And it says in verse 1, it says, we're going to start reading there. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That's what the book of Luke shows you, what he began to do and teach. Until the day in which he was taken up. That former treatise ends on the subject of his ascension. After that, he through the Holy Spirit hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This was the day of the ascension. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he says you have heard of me. He told them about it. We've been reading this in the Gospel of John. You go to Jerusalem and you wait. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is completely different and separate from John's. John's was what John's was, or repentance. This is going to be the promise of the Father being poured out. In verse 6, it says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Perfectly beautiful question. That's what they were expecting, the kingdom to start. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken this, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. This is the last moments of his ministry on earth. And then he ascended. This concludes the book of Acts. This gives you the additional information. Acts says that the Spirit's coming and it's going to clothe you with power from on high. You don't just, it doesn't, it is. You are clothed with it. It is your uniform, so to speak. Look at John 14 again. I want to show you again, and I'm asking you to look at this. So we just looked at what the Spirit was promised to give and do. Now I want to share with you a remarkable truth that Jesus said at the same time, right along with that truth of what the Spirit's going to do. But he makes these statements. In John 14 and verse 13, he says to them, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you think that that was just like a, go to 15:7. Do you think that that was just like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that? I mean, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? Now, I'm going to qualify it here in a minute, but I want you to see this. 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16, verse 23. In that day shall you ask me nothing. When this day happens, Pentecost, that you don't ask me anything anymore. Why? Because he ain't here. He is seated. Our Lord, our Savior, is raised. He is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in his presence. And you're not asking him for anything. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. I think verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, and you shall ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. Proverbs is dark sayings. In other words, you don't really fully understand this or see this yet. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall not, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. We're not asking the Lord Jesus Christ to answer our prayers. He's making intercession for us. He made it available for you and me to, in his name, we can go to the Father. Now, these scriptures that I've just read to you, I mean, is there any doubt in your mind that God and Jesus want to answer any prayer that you pray? Not mine. This isn't just a slip of the tongue. This is repeated time and time and time and time again, isn't it? Now, the question is, what does the rest of the chapter say? Because you can't take these verses out of their context, not and rightly divide them. So he starts in 13, and basically he does the communion, washes their feet, tells them to love one another as I have loved you, obey the Father the way I have obeyed you. He repeats those truths, serve like I've served, love like I have loved, and obey the Father the way I have obeyed the Father. He repeats that three times in these chapters. He gives them different scriptures, different words, but they are repeated three times. And I'm telling you, if you serve and love and obey the way he did, you got the prayer life of Jesus Christ. You got the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's putting on the Lord. That's putting on Christ. And that ain't that's not that difficult if you focus. I don't know how to say it any better. You know, when I've been teaching the book of Ephesians, right? And my fellowship on Sunday. And chapter 4 starts the practical side of Ephesians. And the practical side of this is not brain surgery. You know, walk like he walked. Unity. Walk in holiness. Do my word. Walk in light, walk in love, walk in wisdom. Then he says, he gives the example of a marriage. And he says, just be in submission to God the way it's supposed to be. That's the key, because this is the mystery. And marriage is sort of like this. You know, wives, you submit to your husbands. Husbands, you take care of your wives. Because it's just the order of things. And do that because you're supposed to. You want a good life, good marriage, happiness. Do those things. Because God, Jesus is in submission to God in the same sentence. I am in submission to the Father. I know exactly what this is to be about. I'm not doing my own thing, not if I'm walking with my Lord. And it's God in Christ in me. Mary and I have been married 49 years coming up October. We don't do anything separate. We are one. And I'm not talking about just going to the, she goes to the store. I ain't going to the store. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about living life. Every decision I make is in light of her being a part of my life. Every decision she makes is about me being a part of her life? We're one. We're a team. We care for each other. Differently, but we care for each other. And it's a beautiful thing when it works. Beautiful thing. That's the way it's supposed to be with us and the Father. That's really what the mystery was all about. See, we're family. I know the world has got us chopped up and divided and sliced up and all different kinds of things. But no, I'm sorry. All those things are they're just not important. The things that the world thinks is important is not important. You know? I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. See, this Spirit gave us fellowship. Now, when we say that word fellowship, it is a real harmonious relationship with the Father and with His Son. That fellowship that we have with them, He gives us everything. He tells you, this is what it's going to do. I'm going to reveal this to you. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to bless you with that. You walk by this, and I'll any prayer you ask, because you won't be asking for stupid stuff. Okay? But you can practice when you're a young Christian. You practice asking for stupid stuff, and God does it. Just so He encourages you to get to the real deal sooner or later. I used to ask for parking spaces in Astoria when I lived there. And I, right in front of the door, it's a miracle. I'd go to fellowship and it's a miracle. I went to Miguel's place. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm driving down the block and I'm saying, Lord, I need a parking space again. And there it was. It's a miracle. No, I'm serious. I remember asking for all kinds because I got taught what we just talked about. He's part of me. He's in me. He's going to work within me, the will and to do of His good pleasure. And you know how you get to the real deal, the big stuff? The important things is you start learning by doing the little things. I talked to my brother, it was a week or so ago, and he says, you know, John, my prayer life has become so, I'm so confident in my prayer life at this stage of my life. Because he knows what he asks the Father for, the Father will do. You know, it doesn't mean you won't go through stuff. You go through all kinds of stuff. In fact, that's why you need this. We still have an adversary. He's out to get you. You don't think that this world got to where it's at all by itself. You know, most normal people just want to live their life, have a nice meal, go to work, come home, enjoy their family, enjoy their friends, and have a little peace. Have a few laughs, enjoy living. You know, they don't just walk around the neighborhood waiting for somebody to mug. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to... That just doesn't fit within, like, life's normal range. You know, murdering your mother and father, it's just not normal. It's spiritual. The level of violence is spiritual. War, country against country, that's spiritual. You know, we can pray. that wonderful prayers that God gives us. I'm off the subject just a touch, but still on prayer. You can pray for God to deal with every person who is in authority over others' lives, especially as people, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. So these spiritual morons don't wreck your day. We can pray that these countries which reject God and hate His word, where you'll go to jail if you speak it. I mean, it's not that far away from here. Just go to Canada. You know, you go to jail if you preach what they don't want you to preach. It's spiritual. Ephesians chapter 1. So we got the Spirit, we got those promises. Those promises are very powerful. They are not light duty. They are powerful and they are specific and they are given to you as a gift because you believed. Look at chapter 1. And starting in verse 13, it says, "In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." When you believed that Jesus Christ was your Lord, and you believed God raised him from the dead, that is the synopsis. When you believe that, He sealed you with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. The word earnest is token. It's a token. It's like an engagement ring. You put on a woman's hand, and I promise we are going to be married. This Spirit is a token. It's not salvation. It's a token. Because we're going to get rid of this thing when our Lord comes back. We get new bodies, life-quickening spirit. We no longer need these toys, it calls in 1 Corinthians 13. Pretty powerful toys. Wait until the real deal comes. This is the earnest, the token of the inheritance. It's just, let me give you a token, because you're going to get an inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. When He comes back and redeems this purchased possession, my life is not my own because it's His. He paid for it with His blood. He paid for it. So you have the Spirit, you got the power, God has given you the Spirit. And He says in John, He talks about, and I'll answer every prayer. And again, the teaching is, you walk like I walk, after the example that I've given you of service and love and obedience. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Or the Father will give it to you. He makes it real clear, don't talk to me. Don't ask me. The Father loves you. He'll answer this. It's your relationship with Him. So what is it that He won't answer? You know, like I said, I was teaching Ephesians. And Ephesians in the first 14 verses tells you unbelievable truths. God is expressing to us in those first 14 verses how that He has called us. He wanted a family. He wanted you. He wanted mankind. Just look just a moment here. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You've got them all. You've got them all. They're expressed in the Scripture. If you study the Scripture, you'll understand what you got. According as he hath chosen us, mankind, all of us. Not everybody chooses him, but he has chosen us. In him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He is predestined that we would be his adopted child. To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, that we would be to the praise of his glory, that he has redeemed us through his blood, it talks about here, according to the riches of his grace, that he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in this administration, that eventually God is going to bring together everything in heaven and earth to be one. It's called his family. He wants you. He did this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who accomplished it. He is the one who planned it. He is the one who executed it. He is the one who sent his son, who gave his life to get it done. And now he wants you to pray this prayer in Ephesians so that you can understand what has been done, because you can't get this. Just like it said in John, the world doesn't know me. The mental ability of this world doesn't know me. The gray matter I have between my ears can't comprehend this. This is a spiritual truth. This is a spiritual thing that only God by his Spirit can reveal to you and teach you through the Spirit that he has given to you. That is why you take the time when you read this and you pray this. And guess what? If you pray this prayer, give me an excuse why God won't answer it. You know, most of the Christians I meet, they're not in our church. We've been reading the Bible a while. Most of them don't have any confidence in their prayer life. Their prayers are like wishes. Well, if I pray this, maybe it'll happen. That's why what my brother said to me was so wonderful. That's the way I feel about my prayer life. I have a great confidence in it because I know my Father hears every word. Sometimes I got to wait a while before they get answered. Other times I don't have to wait at all. But look at what he says here. Chapter verse 17. Now this is the prayer that you should pray to understand the first 14 verses. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. But just stop there for a second. Again, the Christian church is always praying to Jesus. Who is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yahweh, the Father. The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God will give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding of everything that he has done. We're talking in context, right, of Ephesians? Of these first 14 verses he makes known in the doctrine. He will give you spiritual understanding if you ask. And he will reveal it to you in the knowledge of him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know what he's done for you. He wants you to have an intimate, and the word knowledge is accurate, precise. He wants you to have it all. How few people have wanted to know God? Most people blow him off. Well, let's get serious. How many people through the centuries have really wanted to know God? Moses? Joshua? A couple others in there maybe? Caleb and a few others? The rest of them never made it into the promised land. How about the prophets? Isaiah sent all the north, Jerusalem. And God told them, nobody's going to believe you. Jeremiah, Micah, Jesus. How many were there on the morning of the resurrection waiting for him to get up? Nobody. Mary came to bury him properly. She didn't expect him to get up either. You got, the prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. You. All you got to do is ask, pray, and know that he'll answer your prayers. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, the heart of your understanding, being enlightened. Enlighten it, Father. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. See, most people think this is about them. This is about me. It's not the way it reads. He wants you to understand the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has been fighting for this since Adam sinned. He wants children. He wants a people who love him, blameless, holy, without stain. You know how he's going to get this? First of all, he sent his son to wipe away your sins. He raised him from the dead, and he's given you a token that during this lifetime of yours, you can walk with him and have fellowship with him. That he can communicate with you and you with him on an intimate level. Say, Abba, Father. So that you and he can have that fellowship. Because when the day the Lord comes back, he is going to get you and the angels and all those who have ever lived who have believed on him. He's going to raise them. He's going to change them. He is going to have his family forever. This is the hope of his calling and the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is about what God has wanted since Adam gave it all away. You have been invited to believe the gospel, to accept Jesus, his son, as Lord, to believe that God, by his power, raised him from the dead. And when you believe that, you receive the Spirit, and you have fellowship with him. You stay faithful to that, like the Lord did, and you will be in the resurrection or changed. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, you know, confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, live any other which way you want. Sorry. That doesn't fit with common sense. It doesn't fit with Scripture. It doesn't fit with anything. You stay faithful. It's what God has always wanted. See, He wants you to know the the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believed? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. How are you going to understand and experience the working of His mighty power if you don't ask and really expect to see it? It's there. To wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights, dominions, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His, the Lord's feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. These words are filled with majesty, power. Talk about being over the top. Talk about putting it down in sentences, words that are completely over the top. There is nothing that can get in the way of Almighty God. And He wants you to experience this kind of power. You will. At the day of the resurrection, no matter what kind of life you live, at that day you're going to experience what it's like for God to raise somebody from the dead. Hopefully you're in the resurrection of the just and not the unjust, but everybody's going to experience it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. See, what does it say in John? We're going to go to Ephesians 3 here. In verse 14, we're going to start reading here. But just to go back a touch. You know, one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That just, like, I don't know, puts steel in my spine. It puts thanksgiving in my soul. Gratitude. I'm willing to sacrifice and to love. You know, I'm willing to do anything for my family. Anything. God is willing. But He has already given His Son. He has already spent centuries putting this together. And I think I should do anything for Him. And to live for Him. To His glory. The only way you're going to know the exceeding greatness of His power is if you wake up in the morning and you say, you and I are together today. What would you like me to do? Teach me, help me, guide me through this day. And expect to get clarity. You know, if you do it just in a mechanical way, talk to me mechanically, see how far goes our relationship. You know, I got people who respect me, and I got people who love me. I got people who care less. I got people who are nice, and then people who are pretty not nice. in my life. They all have different relationships with me. And it's based upon what's given. God has different relationships with the men and women that he's walked with. Some of them shine bright for years. Some of them just for a moment. It's all on what they give him. It's all on what they give him. Do you believe what he says here? Do you really believe he'll answer your prayers? Do you believe that these words are yours if you pray them? Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father. That's a great way to start, called humility. God don't owe you nothing. I remember I used to teach, you can claim this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's true within a certain context. I can claim what he says because he says it, not because I got the right to it. My kid can ask me for the keys to the car. He can't just grab them and go when he was in my house. That's a way different attitude, isn't it? Paul, it says here, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember now, what he's been teaching in the past couple of chapters is how he saved mankind, and he revealed the mystery. So it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You are the most powerful people on earth, just like our Lord, if you walk like he walked. That Christ may dwell in your heart, not just visit, but dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. See, you can't just understand this intellectually. You have to ask. Show me, teach me, reveal it to me, Father. That he might be filled with all. Well, let's read verse 19 again. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You got the Spirit. You can ask. Ask humbly. Come before your Father and ask him. Show you. Teach you. Expound it to you. Reveal it to you. Cause it to manifest itself in your life. The love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's the only way you're going to get it. You can study the Bible till you're blue in the face, but until you ask and realize that God wants to answer this prayer, he wants to answer this prayer. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. To God be the glory in every aspect of this. We have been taught in the scriptures what the Spirit will do. I've only touched on it today. We have been taught that God, through his Son, is so willing to answer any prayer of any individual who walks in the love of God in Christ. You know, it's called the renewed mind in the church epistles. He's willing to answer every prayer. And he tells us what to pray in Ephesians so that we understand the greatest revelation that was ever given to the church in the mystery. So that it comes together in our heart and our life. So that we understand what God has done. Because he wanted this. You and I get to go because we accepted and believed the truth. But this is what God wanted. And he is willing to give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think if you pray these things. That is what I got to share with you today. So, amen. Father, I thank you for your love and I thank you for your great grace, your tender mercies. You are our Father and you have given us all things. You've given us everything, Father. And we celebrate this day of Pentecost, my God, remembering what you have given. And we also, Father, remember those who have given themselves for us so that we could be here standing in a free nation. We ask you, Father, to bless their families and that they are never forgotten either, Father. Thank you for all those who've improved our lives and who've sacrificed to bring us to where we are today. But we praise you, Father, because you gave your Son. And we praise you because you've poured out the Spirit, Father. And we ask, Father, that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we might know the hope of your calling and the riches of the inheritance that you have in the saints. We pray these things, Father, today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.